You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
And once again, good morning. As I was read for us, and we continue this morning in what is called the Little Apocalypse from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, also has parallels in Matthew, if you care to read those. Just to review one of the most important, the last passage that we want to carry forward. When Jesus gave them this information, he made sure that they understood, or they should have understood, that calculating the date of the end of the world and the return of Christ is not the point. We have so much trouble trying to get past this, watching the signs so that we will know when the return of Christ will be. Not what Jesus had in mind. As he moves forward in this material, it is still the wrong question. How do we know, the disciples said, when these things will happen and what will be the signs that will alert us that it is almost here? And Jesus is trying to tell them the signs that you would use to measure nearness. And I'm going to put a parenthesis here and say for a moment that we do always have to understand that God's sense of nearness is not the same as our sense of nearness. If you read the letters of Peter, you will find that already at that point there were people who had been expecting the return of Christ, the end of the world, and it hadn't come, and these people are just aghast because they're saying, it's been 30 years, 30 whole years, and he hasn't come yet. Maybe he's not coming after 30 years. And Peter had to answer them and say, God is not slow concerning his promises, as men count slowness to be. You have overlooked one important thing. With God, 1,000 years and a day, no difference. All the same to God, 1,000 years and a day. Well, see, it's not all the same to Terry. I don't feel like I have 1,000 years. The truth is, I do. I don't have 1,000 years here and now, but I am looking forward to the day when I will understand this perspective because I will be in eternity with Jesus Christ. And you can't pick a number of years to set that will describe what lies before me because it's eternity. And then I will understand the difference between God's sense of nearness and mine. But for the moment, we are kind of caught in this, and we can say it, but it's difficult really to wrap our minds around. Just know that nearness for God is not necessarily the same as nearness in our minds. But, parenthesis closed, the signs that you would use to measure nearness are only the beginning. Now, I think everybody understands language well enough to know that beginning is the opposite of end, right? He says, you see these things and you think it's the end, but it's really only the beginning. A lot of process left here. Know that an end is coming. That these signs that you're looking for only mark the beginning. And it's a special kind of beginning. It's life birth pangs. I retained the old biblical word there, pangs. The PowerPoint guys came to me and said, is this a typo? What are pangs? Did you mean pains? And I said, no, meant pangs. Old biblical word, pangs. But pains, it works. Birth pangs. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing right up front. I'm a man, and I have never experienced birth pains. And I'm not complaining. I'm okay by that. We have three children. Michael did all the birth panging. All three of them. And I'm okay with that. Let me tell you, I remember the birth of all three of our children very well. And I can tell you something about each of the three. I'll tell you just about Andrew. This morning. Andrew's not here to hear me tell this because they were visiting their friends over in East Sparta today. But Andrew, when the birth pangs started, it was all over quick with Andrew. It was about 30 miles from Shady Valley, Tennessee to Abingdon, Virginia, where the hospital was going to be. And I'm telling you, that looked to me like it was going to be about 10 miles too many. My first instructions to Andrew, the very first command that I gave to Andrew was this. Kid, you're not being born in this car! Just hold on there! And we made it to the hospital, but not by much. Some people have long neighbors. I was there. Samantha, Sarah had her first child, and I believe that Sarah spent more time in labor delivering to Samantha than your grandma spent in all three children combined, is what I believe. Sarah had a longer labor, and at the end of it, she was exhausted, sick, tired. And I have known people who had longer labors than that. Now, I spend a lot of time visiting people in the hospital season to season. And I will always remember this one. This was in Shady Valley, Tennessee. And I went to see a young couple who had just had their first child. And when I got there, another young couple who were their friends were already in the room visiting them. And they were all young enough that the young couple who were the friends didn't have any children yet. And this was the first child for the young couple who had just had this baby. And she had a and she was telling about it, you know, telling the story. 40 hours of labor to get this baby. And the young man who was visiting, who had no children yet, said, 40 hours? Wow. I bet that's almost as bad as having to pull a double shift. His wife rolled her eyes. I mean, really big, really big, and shrugged apologetically, like, please forgive my ignorant jerk husband, who does not seem to understand that with the energy devoted to 40 hours of birth pains, you could raise the Titanic and throw a rock to the moon. That's a lot of information, I know, but it was a very suggestive item. Long labor, but short or long, birth pangs produce something. New life. New relationships, because let me tell you, your relationships are never the same after that baby comes. A whole new generation comes from birth pangs. But the pains are only the beginning, and the new stuff comes at the end. as soon as we understand this, we say, okay, when will the end be? Not the point. Let me review quickly the five don'ts that we took from the first portion of this passage. Five things that you don't do as you realize there is an end coming. Number one, don't try to calculate the date. Number two, don't get too attached to worldly stuff. It's all going away. Number three, don't be dismayed by how bad things get in this world, and they can get pretty bad. Number four, don't listen to false teachers, especially false end-time teachers who have a diagram that guarantees that they can pinpoint the date and tell you when it will be. Just don't listen. Number five, don't be surprised by persecution. Those are the five don'ts that I took from the first part. In this second part of the passage, let me give you three do's. And if you were paying attention when Silas read this, you will have heard all of it already, but I'll give it to you again. The first do, when you realize that there is an end appointed and that it is coming, do preach the gospel to all nations. And what more sensible response to a coming end could there be? If you believe, as I do believe, that this world is a goner. And how many of you believe that? This world is a goner. Okay. If you believe, as I believe, that the only salvation is to be saved out of this goner world. And how many of you believe that? To be saved is to be saved out of this passing, perishing, goner world. If you believe those things, what makes more sense than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people who are lost with this lost world right now so that they can be saved before either their personal time or the time of the whole present order of creation is over? Preach. There's an end coming. Preach. Those who aren't pulled out are lost. Preach the gospel to all nations. You know, there's an end coming. Which makes more sense? Preach the gospel to all nations or find a high hill to climb so you have a better view of the proceedings. Preach the gospel to all nations or try to calculate when the end will be so you can manage your investment portfolio right. Which would be to get deep in debt the week before. Preach the gospel to all nations. The first and most obvious action take if you believe that the end is coming. Second, to preach the gospel to all nations, endure. That's a very specific word, endure. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, I take a lot of guff from people who have different beliefs sometimes when I teach or preach on this point. Because they say, you're talking about conditional salvation. And I guess, yes, I am kind of talking about conditional salvation. But I don't believe God's promise is ever weak. God keeps His word. I have no question about that. But you, friends, you can walk away anytime you want. Mark Olney, you're a Christian and a believer right now, but you can quit tomorrow if you want to. You can throw up your hands and walk away and never speak the name of Jesus Christ again and want nothing to do with God and His kingdom. And if you made that decision, God would honor your free will that He's given you. Russ, you're a believer right now. And I have You have choices. If it's too hard, you can just quit. Don't do it. But if you decide to do it, God will let you. If it's too hard, too hot, too inconvenient, you can just walk away. But only those who endure to the end will be saved. Now, in our context, we ask, well, yeah, you could walk away from God, but why would you give up all this blessedness that we know? And believe me, I understand the question, because I think this is something you will also agree with me. Is it not blessed to be in relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Amen? Isn't life as a Christian a blessed life? Amen? In your darkest hours, have you not found comfort through Jesus Christ and a way to God that leads through the valley of shadow? Have you not? Amen? Why would you walk away? Jesus used the word endure. It's a very specific word. How many of you have ever endured a perfectly cooked steak and a nice fluffy mashed potato with butter and sour cream and maybe some steamed asparagus on the side, a tall glass of iced tea, and a bowl of ice cream and just a little chocolate? So everybody's ready for the sermon to end and go home now. You don't endure that, do you? You enjoy it. Have you ever endured a nice, good evening with friends, filled with pleasant conversation and reminiscence and hope for the future and maybe some Yahtzee or... No, I'm sorry, forget sinful cards and dice. A nice game of Bible trivia. Bible trivia, that's a thing. Have you ever endured that kind of good... You don't endure that, do you? You enjoy that. You stay later than you should. You know you got to get up in the morning, but the evening is so pleasant. You hate to give it up at 9 o'clock. You endure a different kind of thing. And when Jesus said this, what he said was, he said, they're going to flog you. Which means they're going to take a whip. Maybe one with multiple strands on the end, and on each strand is a little piece of bone or shard of pottery or a little jagged hunk of steel. And somebody's going to reach back and swing that thing as hard as he can and drag those sharp things across the skin of your back. And then he's going to do it again. He said, they're going to haul you before governors, and the governor will have all the power, and you, from a worldly perspective, will have none of the power. And if the governor says, take away this man's property, they will take it away, and you will have no recourse. And if the governor says, separate this man from his family and sell him off to work in the salt mines, to the salt mines you will go, and maybe never see your wife and kids again, and you will have no recourse. If the governor says, haul this man out back, and lean his head over that stump and chop it off. That's what will be done. And you will have no recourse. Endure. He said, your own children will turn you in. Your brother will be against you. And those you trust and love most will become your enemies. When I said that I am a man and therefore I have not endured labor pains, I said I wasn't complaining and I'm not kidding. I don't wish for the experience. What I say, you and I have been blessed more than we realize in the circumstances of our here and now. I mean that too. And I don't wish persecution on you, but I do wish for a perspective. We don't wake up every morning wondering, like Christians in Egypt, are they going to come and burn my church today? We don't wake up every morning worrying that something may happen to us like happened in Russia time to time when the soldiers come in. And here, members of the praise band understand this. They took the musicians' hands and spread them on the floor and woke them up with rifle butts to keep the congregation from praising God. They thought that would be a sufficient discouragement to keep them from praising God. We didn't wake up this morning worried that that would happen. We didn't wake up this morning worried that I was going to end up in an orange jumpsuit kneeling in the sand on the coast of the Mediterranean with a guy with a machete behind me who I knew was going to presently walk down the road of me and my fellow Christians and lop off our never had to worry what it's like to be a Christian in Syria. Never had to really even understand what it's like to be a Christian in China. We have been so blessed. Praise God! This is not a complaint. Just realize the degree of blessing that we have because our experience of the exercise of our faith is so much different than most Christians in most places at most times. What we have enjoyed is the exception rather than the rule. And I get upset when I have to look at some jerky, snarky post on Facebook that says, Christians are stupid. Yeah! Endure. When the American gives up his faith as a result of whatever doubts and temptations and pressures that we experience here, we show ourselves to be spiritual wimps compared to people who really have to take to heart the message that Jesus gave. There's an end coming. And before it gets here, things are going to be really bad. Endure. For the one who endures to the end will be saved. Preach the gospel to all nations. Do that. Endure. Do that. Third and last. Make your life all for the sake of Christ. All for Him. Everything that I am, everything that I have, everything that I do, everything that I can become, all for Jesus. People ask, how do you know when you're saved? And I would simply say this, saved is of course the opposite of being lost, and lost is when you have chosen something else, anything else, over God. In our New Testament era, that means over Jesus Christ. When you choose something else, anything else, over Him. How do you know when you're saved? When you would choose Him over anything or everything. If I came to you and I could say to you and make you believe, you are going to have to give up everything but one thing. You can only keep one thing in your life. What will it be if the answer is not my relationship with Jesus Christ? That's not the answer. If you would give that up to keep your job, if you would give that up to keep your health, if you would give up your relationship with Jesus Christ to keep your standard of living, if you would give up your relationship with Jesus Christ to keep your freedom, if you would not choose Him above all things, and if you really believe in the difference between short time and long eternity, well, there's a practical side to it. If you would not choose Jesus Christ above all things, then maybe you do have some questions to answer about the state of your soul. Preach the gospel to all nations, because an end is coming. Endure that it may be hard, but it will only be for a while, because an end is coming. And make your life all about Jesus Christ, because an end is coming, and on the day of the end, He will be the only way forward. These things you should do if you believe an end is coming.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.